Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Back in 2022, Jalen Hurts averaged about like something like 2.8 something seconds to throw. That was up considerably from 2021, when he was one of the slowest quarterbacks to throw, average time to throw per Pro Football Focus. And then last year, he kind of dipped down back towards the end of the league again, holding on to the ball for a long time. So
welcome back in, everybody, to Birds 365, joined now by our Wednesday usual guest, BLG, Brandon Lee Gouten of Bleeding Green Nation. BLG, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
How's it going, guys?
Good, BLG. You heard my hook, flat defender. I saw you smile. You excited to see all that? You know, people overreact to the passing camp nature as well, so those edge defenders were dropping. What else are they going to do in OTAs? They can't rush the passer.
Exactly. And I think we saw that a bit too with Nolan Smith last year as well. So yeah, I wouldn't read too much into that, but that is obviously a really key player. And a good friend of mine, Jimmy Kemsky, I think has put it well in terms of, I think Nolan Smith is kind of the key to the Eagles pass rush this year in terms of, do you feel good about the depth there or not? If he turns out to make a big leap in year two, then you do. And if he doesn't, then you probably don't.
Yeah, agreed with that. BLG, it was the first time I know we had you on last Wednesday. That was right before you guys had went down and saw your first OTA. I just want to give you a chance. What were your first takeaways? Anything that stuck out to you? Any player, good, bad, or indifferent, that stuck out to you when you left your first look at them at OTAs last week?
I think one of the most visually striking things, which I don't know why it just wasn't really on my radar, even though he's probably, the most prolific player, obviously, the Eagles added this offseason, was just how different Saquon Barkley looks relative to not only just the other Eagles running backs on the roster, but just really going back to, I've been there since 2013 training camp. Just visually striking to see how different of a player he looks, and just in terms of he's much bigger and just looks built to handle, a huge workload for this team.
Yeah, he's a bus guy, as Nick would call. He's one of those. He can join Jordan Mailata, Mekhi Becton as well. He's going to be. You let those guys come off the bus first, and you hope to intimidate the other team and the other fans. No one's ever going to doubt Saquon's physical ability, his, Saquad, the nickname, his, the dude is everything. And that's why he was the number two overall pick from a physical perspective. The other day on Bleeding Green, you put up that Bill Barnwell piece, which I thought was kind of interesting. And, he brought up some of the same concerns that I brought up, and the fact that out of character for the Eagles, maybe an overreaction to the collapse last year. I don't, you know, that the Barkley question is so interesting to me, BLG, because then I saw another piece where he's going to get 2,000 yards. I'm like, the expectations on a running back for the Philadelphia Eagles, the team that helped devalue the position, it's insane to me.
Yeah, they're very big expectations. And yeah, I was obviously surprised by legal signing him as well. But I think conceptually, you know, you can kind of get behind it from a standpoint of you're trying to do everything you can to improve the offense or make sure it's still a top offense. And, you know, I think it's very much remains to be seen just how much playing behind this offensive line, you know, helps him out. You would think it would. But yeah, I mean, expectations are going to be high. They should be high based on what they paid him. You know, obviously it's not a prohibitive deal from terms of long-term and guaranteed, you know, only like kind of probably a 2-year commitment, but it's a lot of money and they're paying him like an elite running back and he has to be in that tier.
Yeah. Does the signing of Saquon signal, I don't want to say a shift, but maybe the Eagles trying to get back to that 22 form where they are a run heavy team. They're not predominantly running, but they run to set up the pass. They run to help out Jalen Hurts. Does it signal more of that? Because me and John have debated how they're going to use Saquon Barkley. We obviously don't know that yet, but when you look at everything, all the factors involved, I don't know how you get the value or the use out of this guy you would want if he lives up to his expectations without becoming run heavy. I mean, I don't see them using him much in the passing game. I guess he's a true three down back, which is good, but how do you think they will use Saquon Barkley?
Yeah, it's obviously game script stuff in there. You know, if the Eagles have more leads, they're going to be running the ball a lot like they were in 2022. Ideally, that's their formula there. But, you know, I think it's interesting. I've mentioned this before on the show. I don't think the Eagles love to really rotate running backs within a certain drive. They really like to like start a drive with that guy and kind of keep it going with that same running back for the most part. And, you know, they haven't had a true kind of, you know, bell cow back here for a while. I mean, you know, Miles Sanders was obviously the closest thing to that in a bit. I mean, Swift, you know, at times last year, but still those weren't, you know, the kind of backs that the volume, you know, Saquon Barkley has handled and is going to handle for this team. That's a different look, just being able to keep him on the field and obviously his versatility in the pass catching game, as well as being able to run the ball.
You know, from the standpoint of, I don't know if we talked about this, but obviously Saquon comes across as an all-in move. The Eagles still think they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender. And they're going for it and the window is open. And then you contrast that with, hey, we're going to move on from Hassan Reddick. How do you weigh those two things in the end game?
Yeah, that is like the one move this offseason that I have a hard time. I didn't love the Saquon thing, but I can kind of like talk myself into it. I can see some sense there. The Hassan Reddick thing, I just keep coming back to, I think, you're just overthinking it. And even if, okay, like the ideal outcome, the way the Eagles would put it is, you know, you got younger at that spot. I mean, you got worse. Like Bryce Huff is
right.
A good player.
Like, I don't want to get younger if I'm going to get worse.
Right. I just, I'm not trying to knock Bryce Huff here. I'm not saying he's bad. I'm just saying, you know, Hassan Reddick is really good. It's more of a testament to Hassan Reddick than it is an indictment of Bryce Huff. Right. Who hasn't proved to be a full-time player. He might very well be able to make a leap. The Eagles, I think, are making a reasonable bet on his projection, but that's the key word. It's a projection when you had this sure thing in Hassan Reddick. And I think it's kind of just a weird line to draw. When you think back to how, you know, just not even the same coaching staff, but for years, and Howie Roseman has admitted his biggest weakness can be, you know, getting emotionally attached to players, and how the Eagles have probably had a number of players kind of overstay their welcome. I think it's just weird that you draw the line at a guy like Hassan Reddick, a local guy who's been nothing but extremely productive for this team.
Yeah, yeah. And to me, the Jets didn't even give him a new contract. It kind of adds sure. Salt to the wound in a way.
There's no way Hassan Reddick plays for that contract here. I really, PLG, you know how it works. I mean, he didn't get 30 sacks, 30 and a half sacks in 38 games for the New York Jets. He didn't wreck the NFC Championship game for the New York Jets. He did all that for the Philadelphia Eagles. There's no way he's playing for less money than Bryce Huff here. He might go. What
if they
didn't
sign Bryce Huff though? What if they just said we're going to stick with Hassan?
Well, then
you're right. Once they add Bryce Huff and they pay him more, now if I'm Hassan Redick, I'm like, come on, I'm not playing for you guys. You just pay the guy who's lesser than me more than me. That I get. But if they don't go the Bryce Huff route and they say, Hassan, we want you here.
But that's, I'm just strictly, you can make that argument. I'm just strictly addressing the people that are saying, well, he didn't get a new deal from the Jets. Right. And it's not the same, because it happens all the time where guys get disrespected by what they feel is disrespected by the team that they perform for. And they don't want to play for whatever number. And they'll get cut sometimes and go play for less somewhere else. It happens all the time. And I just, the people say he hasn't gotten a new deal with the Jets. He wasn't playing for the Eagles at that number once Bryce Huff was signed. There's just no way. Am I wrong on that, BLG?
No, I think, it wasn't like they signed Bryce Huff. They signed Bryce Huff because they very much probably believed Hassan Reddick wasn't going to be back. Like, that's why they signed Bryce Huff. They didn't sign Bryce Huff and then be like, oh, shoot, now we can't keep Hassan Reddick. Like, no, that's not the order of operations there.
I want to ask both you guys, because you both are reporters. You guys are both in the know of this team. Do you think Vic Fangio had anything to do with getting rid of Hassan Reddick? I was asked that question, and I pushed back on it because I'm like, I don't see how he letting any coach dictate who he should do. I mean, look at Doug Peterson. The guy wanted his own coordinator, and he was out the door. And I know that wasn't Howie, but the front office. And then you kind of look, Jalix Hunt, he seemed like a Vic Fangio pick. They drafted the cornerbacks who were zone cornerback, Quinyon Mitchell. I don't know. Maybe Hassan Reddick kind of showed, hey, I want to go get the passer. Maybe Vic Fangio didn't want that.
I have a hard time believing it, just from a standpoint of, he's such a good player. Like, yeah. If you don't want a good player, then that says that's a lot more about you, and that's concerning if that's the case. I don't think there's anything about Hassan Reddick's profile that you can say, well, this is actually why we shouldn't keep him. You know, it only comes down to the resources and money moving forward, which, again, I still don't even think is a good reason to ultimately do it. But especially at a position where it's a premium position. Mm-hmm. And also the fact that the Eagles didn't have enough depth there last year, clearly, or at least they didn't, utilize their depth properly at the very least in terms of those guys burnt out. So, you get thinner there. It's such a key spot. It's just, it's a tough one for me to reconcile.
Yeah. And for Vic, not that, good GMs don't want to get players that coaches don't want, but I think Vic is, even the Jalix Hunt, that was a big narrative. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he loved Jalix Hunt, but that'd be the equivalent to me of Jason Kelce loving Cam Jurgens. They might run it by you, but Howie's taking who Howie wants to take.
Yeah.
And that's the case with Vic Fangio or anybody else. And he learned from that. He said that, BLG. He's like, you know what? I get all the shit. I might as well make sure I take the players. And at least it'll be my responsibility. So that's kind of the way Howie handles the roster. And he's done a very good job, so he's earned that right. I don't have any problem with that. But I guess we'll shift to Jalen Hurts. I should have mentioned this when we were talking about Saquon. Do you get the feeling, because I get the feeling too many people want to turn Jalen Hurts into Brock Purdy now and get the football out of his hand and say, oh, you got to make things easier for the quarterback. You got to make things. And I get that. You need more questions. You need more answers. Everybody, that's every offensive coordinator's job. Right. But the bottom line is, this is a franchise quarterback. You pay $255 million. I don't want to turn him into Brock Purdy. I want to utilize what Jalen Hurts does well. Whatever that window is, I want to utilize that. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, show me the offensive coordinator is trying to make it, he wants to make it quarterback.
Yeah,
they're more difficult. He doesn't want to make it friendly.
It's like defensive coordinators. We want to be violent. We want to run to the ball. We want to, but go ahead. Sorry.
I think one thing I'd like to see, and this is something we can see in the offseason too. I'm not saying he has to be Brock Purdy, but I do think, back in 2022, Jalen Hurts averaged about like something like 2.8 something seconds to throw. That was up considerably from 2021 when he was one of the slowest quarterbacks to throw, average time to throw per Pro Football Focus. And then last year, he kind of dipped down back towards the, you know, end of the league again, holding on to the ball for a long time. So I would like to see him. It kind of feels like a feast or famine thing with him, where it's either like a really quick decision, ball is out incredibly quick for like, you know, a bubble screen or something, or it's hold, hold, hold. And I even saw a little bit of that in last week's OTA practice. Don't want to overreact because, you know, we're here in May. But there's sometimes too in those 7-on-7s where he's not even getting rid of the ball. And it's like, it's a passing drill. You can't, yeah, you have to make well, the throw.
I'm with you. Yeah, just throw it.
Yeah, I think part of that's just him, and I get there's upside to that in terms of, you know, sometimes he can make a play, he can extend a play like he did against the Bills game, and he had that touchdown pass, which is incredible, to Lamide Zaccheaus, or he can take off running. There's part of that that's in his game, but I think there has to be a little bit better of a balance, and sometimes you just have to, like, you know, take a couple of dropbacks, make the throw, as opposed to just keep holding the ball forever.
Yeah, that's where I think the dump offs, and I'm not trying to turn him into Brock Purdy, but I think it would help him be better at being Jalen Hurts if you just sometimes just take what's there instead of trying to always make a play. And like you said, holding on to the ball, that's a good stat. I mean, he needs to get that back up to getting rid of that ball, because that's when he was most effective as a quarterback. It'll be you think Kellen Moore is the right guy to get him back on track? He's a guy that spreads the ball around a lot. Jalen hasn't done that much. Me and John have talked about it. Do you think he's the right fit for this offense?
Yeah, it's always tough because, again, I think some of that is just so baked into the player that I don't know how much really almost any coach could change. But, you know, I think if Dak Prescott, as someone who at his best isn't just, you know, holding on to the ball forever and kind of, you know, is like in operating in flow of the offense is kind of clicking and flowing. And I think that is an area, yes, where Kellen Moore could work towards helping.
Yeah. And, you know, I do think it's a fine line, BLG. You're right. You don't want to be bottom five. Wise man avoids all extremes, yada, yada. So you want to get the ball out quicker. You want to trust what you see. Sometimes I think Jalen doesn't trust what he sees, and he wants to wait for a receiver to be open rather than throw him open. Right. I agree with all that kind of stuff, but I do think there's a certain give and take that if you have a quarterback like this and you want the Alameda Zaccheaus plays, as you brought up, which was phenomenal, or you want the extending the play, great runs, you got to live with some of it. And I think that's better than 1-2-3 bang, ball's out.
Right.
Because I don't think Jalen Hurts can beat Brock Purdy. So why try to turn him into Brock Purdy? It's kind of my thesis.
Right. And, yeah, I think, you know, again, in 2022, he was at, like, around 2.8. For context, it's, like, the 13th slowest. So, you know, it's still not fast because the fastest quarterback's getting it out. And, like Tua was at, like, 2.3 seconds last year. Mac Jones a couple years ago was, like, at 2.4. You know, you don't have to be up there, but I think you don't want to be where Hurts, like, again, last year was at 3.1. And that sounds like such a silly thing to say, maybe, because it's, the difference between 2.8 seconds and 3.1 seconds surely isn't a lot to us, but in their world,
it's a lot to the sacks. Yeah.
It's a big difference. So I would like to see him maybe under three, or at least closer to three even than that, over that three and, you know, way longer.
Yeah. This conversation brings up an interesting point about Kelsey's gone this year. Like, how much does that impact specifically that part of the game, right? You hear a lot about Kelsey's calling out blitz coverages. He's calling out, you know, the defense. He's telling Jalen where the pressure is coming from. I think Cam will do that, but I'm not going to expect Cam Jurgens to do it to the level that Jason Kelsey did. How much will that impact Jalen Hurts this year?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I think kind of an underrated storyline in terms of just like how, you know, that's not something we'll probably get a great sense of for a bit here. And I don't know that, you know, it'll be as much as Cam Jurgens taking up that mantle entirely, as much as to have agency and authority in this offense and just his style. So now I almost wonder, you know, does more of it fall on him? And could that be a good thing? Maybe. But it's a big responsibility to fill either way. And I think, again, that's not something we'll be able to see until once the real games start. But that's a big question mark.
BLG, I think, you know, it's kind of like PFF list season. And they've been pointing out their best players. I think they had their top three Eagles out there. If I said to you, who are the top three football players on the Philadelphia Eagles, who are you going with?
I mean, I would definitely put A.J. Brown up there. Don't have to think twice.
He's about my number one. Yeah, he's my number one.
Well. Yeah. I would put Lane Johnson up there. I think Lane is.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly one in three American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Is incredible still, and obviously you just see how this team is not the same when he's not out there on the field. He's a massive loss for them. And then so PFF had Jalen Carter, and
I think he's actually good.
I would go. I think you hit the nail on the head. Yeah. I think those are the top three on the Eagles in that order, by the way.
Yeah.
AJ Brown, Lane Johnson. Although, you know, Jordan is pushing for that. Jordan Mailata.
I think Devontae in the conversation too.
Devontae's certainly. And
if I push you to go to five, John, who would be your next two?
I put Jalen Carter three, and they put Jalen Hurts. I'm like, is this the most impactful Eagle? Because obviously the quarterback, you can't. And I just talk Jalen Hurts up, and I think he's a very good quarterback, a very good player, but he's not a better football player than AJ Brown. I think that's crazy.
Right.
Those are my top three. If I had to extend it, I would put Jordan Mailata and Devontae Smith. So very offense heavy. which makes sense.
Yeah, somebody in the chat put Landon Dickerson. That actually would be a good option.
Landon's very good.
Yeah, he's a very good.
He can't get my top five, but he'd certainly be in the top 10.
Yeah.
Slay would still be in the top 10 if you're looking for defense. Still playing at a high level. Saquon would be in the top 10, but he's not in the top five. Sorry, people. Very talented team. We've also had that discussion, but it's very top heavy. The depth, and the more I look at it day after day, and we do this every day, BLG, and we're going to be down there again tomorrow on field. You can't legislate injuries. I'd rather have the stars, and they're loaded with the starters. Definitely top five roster when it comes to the starters. A lot of positions that falls off a cliff.
Yeah, and I think I'm not saying no team has depth, but a lot of teams, you know, don't have amazing.
No, you can't. Yeah, but there's a difference between you can't replace AJ Brown, Devontae Smith. Can't. You're not going to have another guy and say, oh, just go in there and do what they do. But there's levels of drop off, and you could. There's a lot of teams that you could persevere. San Francisco with Jennings, who I think is underrated player. There's a lot of teams with better depth, but I don't think there's a lot of teams with better starters. And I'd rather be with the better starters, and roll the dice.
And that's where, you know, like the young guys come in, right? Like that's where, you know, why you have a draft class here and why the Eagles really need to play young players or find opportunities where they can, I think, a little bit more than they have in the past, to have those players ready if they, you know, the situation calls, or to see who might be able to emerge. Because, you know, while sometimes having that steadiness of a veteran can be nice and you kind of know what to expect, well, you know, then you might not get the untapped potential of a player who might be able to emerge and might have that more of a higher ceiling. So, and again, I know that's easier said than done for some of these coaches who need to win now and the pressure is on. But again, there has to be some kind of better balance than what we've seen in years past. And, you know, Howie Roseman has basically even admitted as much.
Yeah. I'm going to tap into your brain because I just thought of a story idea.
Okay.
And I'm putting you on the spot, and you know, feel free to muse as long as you need. The best non-starters on this team.
Best
non-starter. Give me the best two, three, as many as you think, the best non-starters on this team.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, linebackers, you know, kind of an interesting spot because it's like, who even are the starters? So you could kind of, you know, cheat there, I feel, a little bit.
Devin and N'Kobe. So we're saying penciled in starters. Obviously Tyler Steen at right guard. Where else?
I think, you know, Matt Hennessy is in that conversation. I mean, Kai Becton, you know, he came to mind for sure. Depending how the safety situation shakes out, I think Sidney Brown, as you know, assuming he is not a starter behind CJ and Reed Blankenship. Milton Williams might be him if you're, you know, considering Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis your starters. They're all going to rotate, obviously.
Yeah.
Isaiah Rogers, depending on who, unless he is a starter at cornerback. I'm going through the roster here.
Kenny Gainwell.
I can't do it.
I can't do it either.
Kenny Gainwell. I consider Milton a starter because I think of their starters as, you know, they're going to play 550 fronts.
And right.
So it's going to be Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, Milton Williams. So I put Milton one number one, but I consider him a starter. And then if Milton's out of the conversation, I like your eyes. There's so much uncertainty with Isaiah Rogers, but he looked very good.
Yeah.
And very limited. 500 plus days off.
He's well rested. Fresh legs.
He is well rested. Well, you know who else looked really good? And one of Kenny Stinkin' Gainwell looked really good. I think he's one of the most underrated, but for some reason, people dislike him. I don't think he's a bad football player.
What about Kenny Pickett? Is he on the list of non-starters?
Kenny looked good too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look very sharp. I like having a backup quarterback who's young and has, I don't know, how many starts does he have, BLG? Like 24 over his first
something
two
like,
years?
Yeah, 14 and 10 as a starter.
Yeah, so 24. That's pretty good. I think Kenny Pickett's on the list as well. Who else am I missing? Mekhi Becton, yeah, I think that's a good one. Matt Hennessy's a very good one if he's healthy, and that's a big if. Defensive tackle. Yeah, I'm a little concerned about defensive tackle. I'll tell you, Nolan Smith better be on the list.
Right. Yeah.
He has to. I don't know if he's going to be on the list, but he better.
I got to be honest, guys. I'm concerned about the whole defensive line. You lost Hassan Reddick and Fletcher Cox.
Yeah.
I don't know the number off the top of my head, but those guys had a lot of snaps last year.
Oh,
Josh Sweat was already canned at the end of the year because he played too many snaps.
Yep.
Now you have Bryce Huff, and I love Jalen Carter, but I mean, that's a big leap to make. There's not that much depth at the D tackle room. BLG, as you pointed out at the top of the show, if Nolan Smith doesn't turn a corner, boy, they don't have much depth there either. Those guys might be burnt out by week 12.
Yeah, I mean, those were your snap. I mean, Cox played the most snaps of any defensive tackle. And honestly, it wasn't even like super close. I mean, you Jalen Carter
behind
him.
Cox had 700 snaps, didn't he?
Yes.
Well, that's it. Fletch is old school. We were talking about this injury-wise.
Yeah.
Kaylee Ringo. I should have mentioned Ringo. By the way, why do you think Ringo didn't show up, bro? That was weird.
I saw something about how he was like in some videos. So I guess he's been there at some points, just wasn't there the day we were there at practice. Yeah. So he might be around in Philadelphia. Just maybe
hopefully
wasn't there that day.
Yeah, hopefully he's there tomorrow. But we were talking about, for some reason, tomorrow Davis, somebody tweeted he's played 98 straight games. He's one of my favorite players. He's like an old school, just beats people up, big linebacker. But so I was talking about him earlier. Then I was thinking Kelsey here locally. And you know what Jason would go through to practice, taping up everything, looking like, you know, a stormtrooper to get out there just to practice. And people think, oh, he's healthy. He hasn't been healthy for 10 years. He just played through everything. And in this, Vic kind of talked about this when he was asked, Vic Fangio, BLG, was asked how a player's changed, younger players changed. And he said they haven't changed. The people around him have changed. Yeah. And would younger players even get the opportunity to push through like Jason Kelsey or DeMario Davis or Lane Johnson over the years? And the answer, I think, is no, right? They wouldn't even let if Cam Jurgens showed up with Jason Kelsey's elbow, they wouldn't let him play through that, would they? It's a concern to me when people talk about durability and depth and guys not playing through things. Now you hear N'Kobe. I mentioned this. N'Kobe's not injured again. He's coming back from a Lisfranc surgery.
Right.
But your thoughts on how the game has changed as far as allowing players to play through certain injuries. Obviously, you can't play through an ACL at Lisfranc.
Right.
But the injuries you can play through, like Kelsey has fought through, Lane has fought through. If you don't have that deference, they're not going to allow you to do that, are they?
Yeah, I think that's I never really even thought about it that way. That's definitely, I think, part of the equation. The other part is obviously, like, I'm not trying to say, you know, certain players aren't tough because they can't play through certain injuries, because obviously some injuries are more prohibitive than others, and everyone's, you know, DNA and makeup is different. But, you know, that's obviously part of the equation as well. And sorry for throwing him under the bus here, but, like, you know, someone like Sidney Jones, I think that's a player the Eagles felt like, you know, wouldn't always necessarily be toughing it out the way that other players might be. And that's part of the equation as well. When the player, you know, has the ability to try to push through it and kind of doesn't really do that to the full extent. Oof. And again,
you remember Sean Payton, that game plan, right? They were embedded. He was like, we're gonna run three. What was it? Three of the first five plays, we're gonna run it. That was not a good moment for Sydney. You're right. It works both ways. Mm-hmm. But I do think there are some tough players, but sometimes they're not allowed because the environment around them, as Vic was saying, has changed.
Yeah.
Maybe not necessarily the players change, but it's always individuals.
The camp. I think that's what he's like referring to, right? He's like, because it's not just the player anymore. It's the player and the player's camp, which is family, friends, this whole ecosystem.
Yeah.
BLG, make sure everybody follows BLG on Twitter at Brandon Gowton. Read all his work at Bleeding Green Nation. It's a great site for any Eagle fan that wants to stay up to date. And BLG does great work. BLG, one last question for you on the way out. What are you looking for heading into your second OTA in attendance tomorrow? Anything sticking out to you? Anything you're looking for specifically?
Well, one thing I didn't hit on here and actually led with in my notes article on bleedinggreennation.com, which I'll have another one after Thursday's practice, is I want to be very cautious to be buying into any kind of Paris Campbell hype in the offseason.
Oh, he looked good. He looked sharp.
Well, I think even regardless of how he looked, I think he did, but I just think the fact that Jalen Hurts, who I think we've seen, is not just automatically willing to throw whoever's out there with him, no matter what, he seems to have some trust in Paris Campbell early on. And I think that's significant because, I think Hurts sometimes, locks into targets that he only trusts. And I think he seems to have some trust with Campbell.
Yeah. I think he lost trust in Joseph Nada after day one. I don't want to throw him under the bus, but I guess I just did. I'm with you. I think Paris Campbell looked pretty good. I don't know if it's going to work out, but
yeah, this is the setting he should look good in, by the way. True.
And I think the offense will look a lot better when Devontae's out there. And
sure.
That hurt as well. He wasn't at the first OTAs, but, there was a lot of hype about how well Kenny Pickett played and he had most of the splash plays and that kind of took off. And I wouldn't take much into that. But at Brandon Gowton on X, bleedinggreennation.com does a tremendous job, runs down not only his own work, but runs down the list of everything going on with the Philadelphia Eagles every day. And we're thrilled to have him here. And I'll see you tomorrow, BLG.
That's right.
On-field OTAs. Excited.
Sounds good.
100 days away from Brazil, by the way. 100 days. A lot of flooding in Brazil. A lot of flooding. I forgot to mention that. I hope they fix that. They got 99 days to fix the flooding.
Yeah. BLG, thanks for joining the show, man. We'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, take it easy.
There's BLG joining us, as always, on Wednesday. Always does good work. Johnny Mac, I asked BLG, how about I ask you, what are you looking for heading down tomorrow? I know we'll talk about this more tomorrow as you'll be on the show before you head down there. But
I was focused a lot on the defense last week, and I think I'm going to focus more on the offense this week because, there was so much change, and I was trying to figure out depth chart, where Vic's going to start and all kind of stuff. And now I'm going to focus a little bit more on the offense, and I want to see the changes. At least we saw some of it. I mentioned some of it, more motion, certainly with Kellen Moore, more bunch formations. I think I mentioned the Eagles used to run a lot of 2x2, which got stale in Sirianni's mind when they would try to spread the field. Now it's going to be more bunch formations, but a lot of the reasons you do bunch formations is to get guys free releases. I think AJ and Devontae don't necessarily need that.
Yeah, they don't need that. They're so good and so talented, they don't need it. Yeah.
Maybe it's a little redundant, but it can't hurt to be a little bit of a change. And so some of the things like that, try to go back and forth. So I was more defense heavy. This time I'll be more offense centric and try to figure out what's going on. And offensive line as well, which I mentioned on the show, Matt Hennessy, we talked a little bit about, which is ironic. That was the first name that came out of BLG's mouth when you talked about best backups.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking Mekhi Becton, to be honest, just from a talent standpoint, like a guy that was a former first round pick. So that's the name that came to mind. Not former, but a first round pick John, we both got caught on that.
Yeah, I got
the swear 2 days jar. In the week. Yeah.
Swear jar. Yeah, I did it once. Yeah, it's hard. But yeah, as an editor, that's when it just drives me insane.
Yeah. Well, I got no problem with you checking me on it. It's something I got to learn. What's the right way to identify them, though? It's not, you know what I mean? I don't mean former.
No, I know. I know what everybody means. Draft.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. No, if you're a writer, I'm just saying, if you're a young writer out there, your editor will call you out on that at some point if they're doing their job.
If they're a good editor, yeah.
Yeah, if they're doing their job. So if you're a 2019, like Devin White, is a 2019 first round pick. That's how you do it. You don't say former first round pick. You say 2019 first round pick. Because he's never a former first round pick.
Yep. So Johnny Mack will be looking offense tomorrow. We'll see how it all plays out. I'm excited for John to get back down there. Like I said yesterday on the show, sometimes I think, you know, the people who consume Eagles content, we take you guys for granted, because when you're down there, we learn a lot more about this football team. We get to see videos of the guys. We get to see Jalen and Saquon and Eagle Green. So it's one of my favorite parts of the offseason. I know maybe I'm a little bit of a fanboy with it, but I do love it. I love getting the videos. I love hearing what John sees. I love getting the first impression. So it's something I do appreciate. I want to thank everybody in the chat this morning. I forgot to thank you all in the open of the show. My apologies for that. But Brunson, James, Twiz, Slagger, SMD Eagles, Dion, we appreciate everybody. Suplex City, Slagger, already mentioned you, but anybody I missed, we appreciate you for being here. Make sure you drop us a like on the show. I think we're slagging a little bit, so make sure you hit the like button on your way out before we close today. Johnny Mack, good show today. We'll see what the day brings tomorrow. Tomorrow's an exciting day down at OTA, so we'll see what the day brings. Thanks for doing it with me today, and we'll be back tomorrow on Thursday's edition. Thanks, Johnny Mack.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow morning, Thursday's edition of Birds 365. We'll catch you there.